Hello, and thank you for joining us today. We're grateful that you were able to be a part of this time of worship together. This is worship for May 17th, and we hope that you enjoy this time of celebrating God's goodness in our lives, that you can worship along at home, and that your hearts are touched by the message, by God's word, and by our time together today. I want to share a few announcements as we begin. First is that leadership team met just a few days ago, and along with the various business of the church, we've been talking about what it will look like when we get to the point where we can start being together again. And I want to say a couple things about that. First is we don't know when that's going to be. We have to kind of wait on the state of Illinois and the guidelines that they're putting out. But we do want, as soon as we're able to get back into worshiping together in the sanctuary. And so we're putting together a team of folks to think about safety issues and how do we manage the building and how do we keep one another safe when we are all back together again. So be assured that we're working on that and we're thinking through those issues, none of which are easy, and there's a lot that's still kind of unpredictable about when and how all that will come together. But we are excited about the fact that we're moving forward, and it looks like there is some encouragement out there. So hopefully in the coming weeks we will be able to start moving back into a situation where we can all be together here in the sanctuary again. I also want to encourage you, if you're able, to join us on Sunday morning at 11 o'clock for our fellowship time over Zoom. Those in our church family have the information to log in to that online meeting, and we hope that you're able to join us for that. It's been a good fellowship time together, and to see and to hear from one another, and some people on the phone and others on video, but it's been good to reconnect with the church family each Sunday morning in that way. So Sunday mornings at 11 o'clock for our Zoom fellowship. So again, welcome. We're grateful that you are joining us today. And we begin our time of worship now by hearing from God's Word. This comes from Ephesians chapter 1, and it's really a message about the church. So these are Paul's words to the church in Ephesus, Ephesians chapter 1, beginning at verse 15. "For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all God's people, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation, so that you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule, authority, power, and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way." As we continue to worship, we're invited now to think about the ways that we can be a support to God's kingdom through our giving. God is gracious to us even during difficult times. He continues to bless our families and each of our lives. And I hope that you will continue to be faithful in supporting the work of our church and enabling us also to reach out and help others. One of the things that our leadership team has been talking about is how we can use the gifts that come into our church to be a blessing to others in our community. And one of the ways that we're doing that is by supporting the Covenant Camps in our Central Conference. They've recently announced that virtually all of their activities will have to be canceled for the summer, and so we're going to use, at least looking into the possibility of using some of our mission funds to enable the camps to continue so that when they're able to gather again, they can start up their ministries again. So that's one of the ways that your giving to our church enables us to reach out and bless others as well. So we thank you for your faithfulness to continue to support the work of Broadway Covenant Church. God's Word tells us that whoever sows generously will also reap generously. And that's certainly our desire, to be generous with what God has given us and to trust that He will continue to bring a generous harvest from our giving and our ministry. So thank you for what you give. Let me invite you now to join me in a word of prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you today for all the ways that you supply our needs. We thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness to us. You are a good and gracious and holy God. And Lord, it's our desire as we worship you today, as we open up your word today, it's our desire to bring praise to the name of Jesus Christ. And Lord, even though we can't all be together in the same room, I know that your Spirit binds us together. And so as we worship you, even in this moment, we pray that you would be pleased, Father, that you would receive the worship of our church, and that you would receive the rejoicing that we bring before you, the thanksgiving that we bring, and that you would bind us together in the power of your Holy Spirit. Father, we thank you for supplying our needs, and I pray your blessing over what we continue to give to enable the ministry of our church. Father, we pray that you would continue to guide us forward as we make decisions about what ministry will look like in the coming days and weeks. And Father, we want to be back together again soon, and we pray that you would enable that to come to pass. But Lord, even during this transition time, this interlude when we can't be together, Father, guide us with wisdom. Help us to care for one another. Help us to continue to share ministry as best we can with one another through whether it's technology like this or phone calls or notes through the mail or whatever we're able to do, Lord. Help us to stay together as a church family. And I pray your blessing over our ministries. Lord, I ask also for wisdom for our leadership team as we think about how best we can come back together when that time comes. Lord, give us wisdom about being safe, but also wisdom about how to welcome one another. Lord, we want our church to be a welcoming place. We want this to be a safe building, but also a building where people can come and meet with you and fellowship together. So, Lord, give us that direction and guidance as we make those decisions. Father, we continue also to pray for healing and strength for our church family. We pray, Lord, for healing for Darlene as she continues to deal with her health needs. Lord, we think of those who are living in community settings and care facilities, in nursing homes. We pray for safety and protection over them. We pray for patience as their lives are dealing with great restrictions in terms of where they can go and who they can interact with. And Lord, we just ask that you'd give them your strength and your protection now. Father, for each of our homes, for our families, I pray that you'd watch over us, guide us in all that we're doing, Lord. And we do pray today for our camps here in the Central Conference, for Covenant Point and Covenant Harbor, as they're facing a difficult summer ahead, making hard decisions about how to continue their ministry during this this time when people can't be together. We pray that you'd provide for them and give them hope, Lord, that life will return to normal soon. Father, guide them and bless them. Father, we pray also for this time of worship together. I pray for each one who's watching and listening to this service that your Spirit would be at work in each of our lives. Lord, help us to hear your voice. Help us to feel your presence around us. And I pray now, Lord, as we prepare to hear your word, that you would open up our hearts to what you have for us today, that your Spirit would speak to each one of us. Lord, we thank you for your grace. We thank you for your word. We thank you for this opportunity to worship through word and through music and through prayer. Lord, we love you and we commit this time to you now through the powerful name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. During this unusual time of isolation and health concerns, we've had to give up a number of activities that we usually enjoy, things that we have always sort of taken for granted in life. And of course, the church has been greatly impacted in those ways, because most of what we do involves group gatherings, whether it's a worship service or a Bible study or a small group, a meeting in someone's home or prayer meetings, and of course, potluck dinners. In the midst of a global pandemic and the economic devastation that we're seeing around us, it may not rank too high on the list of cultural losses that we're dealing with, but nothing says church fellowship like a good old-fashioned potluck. At Broadway, the best example we have of this every year is our church picnic. You may remember last year the church picnic was combined with our homecoming celebration. And the weather didn't cooperate, so we ended up here in the church, down in the fellowship hall, for that picnic, homecoming celebration meal that we shared together. But it was still a wonderful occasion with a bountiful supply of food, and everyone enjoyed the meal that we shared and memories that were shared together as well. Over the years of my ministry, I've served three different churches in three very different parts of the country, and so my family has been to a smorgasbord of different potlucks. Some of them more on the casual side, right, where it's just home-cooked meals, lots of potato salad and seven-layer dips, and then others have been a bit fancier with grills and burgers and grilled chicken, and people bring their dishes in glass bowls instead of Tupperware. But however it works out, it's always a great event. Potlucks invite the church family to share together one of the things that we all share in common, and that is we all like to eat. And food brings us together. Sharing those delicious meals are something that we do with our families, something that we do with our close friends, and something that we do with our church family as well, because we love to laugh and to eat and to talk together and to celebrate God's blessings, often over casseroles and cold cuts and cobbler, because that's what we humans do. So it may be a while before we can enjoy a potluck again as a church family, but have no fear. Of all the things that are changing in our world, of all of the things that people keep saying, oh, we'll never go back to doing that again, I predict that the church potluck will endure. Macaroni salad and fried chicken will always have a place of honor in our church because we love to eat together. We love to be together. The truth is that the tradition of sharing meals as a church family is as old as the church itself. The first generation of believers often gathered over meals, and the church has eaten together for 2,000 years, which is why I don't think it's going to go away. The last few verses of Acts chapter 2 tell us what the early church was like, and it's this beautiful, amazing picture of that early church's life, and Luke, who wrote these words, was not there with those early believers, but he interviewed eyewitnesses. He based what he wrote on the accounts of those who were there, and I kind of imagine that Luke must have asked some of those early church members who had been there from the beginning, what was it like? What was that first year of the church like? And maybe it was Peter or John who told him, maybe it was Mary Magdalene. But they described what the early church was like, and Luke wrote it down in these words. This is Acts chapter 2, beginning at verse 42. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. As we read through the book of Acts, which we'll continue to do in the coming weeks, we learn that the early church wasn't perfect. In fact, the early church wasn't any more perfect than our church is. They had issues and problems and conflicts and sinful attitudes, and we'll see some of those in the coming weeks. The church has never been perfect or pure because the church is filled with impure, imperfect people like us. But we are still the church of Jesus. We are still the body of Christ. And the church is still the best and most important attempt in the history of the world to gather people together for a common purpose, and a purpose that is of utmost importance. And so these verses in Acts chapter 2 give us sort of a template for church life. What it was like way back in that first year of the church, and what the church has been attempting to do for all these generations, and even what we have done for years and years here at Broadway Covenant Church. And it's also a template for what we will return to do as soon as we are able. And so as we look at these words, I want us to examine the church from three different angles. First, I want to think about what the church has to do. And then I want to look at what only the church can do. And then third, what we love to do as a church family. So let's start with what the church has to do. What are the things that define church life? And that if we stop doing these things, we would no longer really be the church of Jesus Christ. So to be the church, we have to teach God's word. We have to pray. And we have to gather to praise God. These are the things that are indispensable to the church. Looking back through these verses I just read, it says they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to prayer. And then it says they continued to meet together praising God. These are the things that the church has to do. Without these three functions, the church would no longer be the church, because these are at the very heart of our mission. We believe just as much as the first generation of the church in the life-changing power and truth of God's Word. And that's why we read the Bible together. It's why we study it in groups in the church. It's why I preach from Scripture every Sunday. I don't preach my own ideas. I preach God's Word as the Spirit guides me. God's Word is our spiritual food, and as we feed on that food, it nourishes us. It gives us wisdom. It gives us knowledge about who God is. God's Word also tells us the story of Jesus, His life, His death, His resurrection. And that story becomes the message of the church. It's what we share with one another, but it's also the story that we tell to the world around us. And we find that story only in God's Word. And that's where we find the mission of the church, to teach God's Word. It's what we must do. We also believe in the power and the necessity of prayer. A church that doesn't pray is powerless. And ultimately, that church would be fruitless. But a church that does pray has access to God's blessings and God's goodness. And so we as a church continue to pray, because it's what we are, it's what we do. We also believe in the importance of gathering for worship. The disciples, along with Jesus, back when Jesus was still with them on the earth, we know they would often meet together, gather together, just that little group, 13 people, Jesus and the disciples, maybe a few others who joined with them in traveling around, and they would sing hymns together, and they would pray together. And Jesus would teach them together all the things that we do as we gather for worship. And that was their experience. It was also what the early church did. In fact, we read as we go through Acts that the early church in Jerusalem would gather first in the temple courts, because that's where Jewish people were accustomed to worshiping. Sometimes later in synagogues, which were sort of the community centers of their day. Other times they would meet in their own homes, because they didn't have a church building back in that first generation of the church. And they would meet together to preach and to pray and to praise God. Right now we can't be together physically. But we are still together spiritually, which is why we're recording this service and why you're watching it. Because we believe in the importance of joining together in any way that we can to worship God, held together by God's Holy Spirit. The church always finds a way to do what the church has to do. Some churches and other cultures, because of the oppression that they face, have to meet underground or in secret or in private places. And if that's what they have to do, that's what the church does. The church may have to find creative and unusual ways, but the church will continue to praise God, just like we are continuing to do it, in not the way that we want to, but in the way that we have to, because this is what the church does. The church teaches God's Word. The church prays, and the church gathers together to praise God. So those are the things that we have to do as a church. But then there are also some things that are unique to the church, things that you aren't going to find out in the world, things that only the church can do. Only the church can celebrate communion. Only the church can do mighty things in the Spirit's power. And only the church can invite people to find new life through Jesus Christ. Again, listening to what it says in Acts chapter 2, it says they devoted themselves to the breaking of bread. And then it says everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs. And then also it says the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. These are things that are unique to the church, that only we can do because we are the church of Jesus Christ. First, only the church can celebrate communion. We break bread, as it says here in these verses, in remembrance of Jesus' death and His resurrection, just as Jesus commanded us to do, just as He told the disciples, this is how you will remember what I've done for you. We share the meal together. Now, we grieve that right now we're apart and we can't celebrate communion. I know some churches are doing this virtually, and I guess if that's the decision they've made, I hope it's going well for them. I believe we should wait until we can be together again, because communion is a shared meal. It's a meal that we join together to share with one another as a church body. We share our devotion to Jesus Christ as we eat of the same bread and drink of the same cup, and it symbolizes the unity of being together as a church family. And I think that's something that we need to do physically together. And so hopefully we will, as soon as we're able to, with a few safeguards in mind, be assured that we will, once we're able to be together, communion might look and feel a little different, but we will, as soon as we can, begin celebrating the meal again. In a similar way, only the church has access to the power of the Holy Spirit moving among us and working actively through believers to impact the world around us. And that is a unique gift that Jesus promised to the church and then fulfilled through Pentecost and the coming of the Holy Spirit, who now lives individually within us but also lives among us as a church family. As you read through the book of Acts, you'll find many stories about the Holy Spirit's work in the life of the church, wonders and signs performed by the apostles through the power of the Holy Spirit. People were healed. Demons were cast out. The apostles received visions in which God revealed His truth to them, all by the power of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit is still powerful in the church. The Spirit still works through our ministries as we worship, as we reach out in love to others, as we pray together. The Spirit is working among us. And the primary work of the Holy Spirit, just as Jesus promised to the apostles, that the Spirit would enable them and enable us to share the love and message of Jesus with the world, as Jesus said, to the very ends of the earth. We offer the love and message of Jesus so that others can find new life in Him, and so that then they can become a part of the church. The early church, of course, grew quickly in some ways, at some times. We read the Pentecost story last week, how Peter stood up and preached, and 3,000 people gave their lives to Jesus Christ all in that one day. Later, though, the early church faced opposition. And they were scattered, many of them, away from Jerusalem. And that was opposition that they faced and a difficulty that they had to endure. But it also then spread the church. And it forced those believers to go out, as Jesus said, to the ends of the earth. And to go into different places and villages and cities. And soon there were churches all over the place, because the Spirit enabled the followers of Jesus to carry the good news wherever they went. That movement, that growth of the church, is still happening today. Now, we know that there was a time in our culture, in our nation, when America was sort of the epicenter of the vibrant growth of the church. And we would love to see that return in our lifetime, a great revival within our culture. But what we're seeing today as the Spirit is moving is that the church is growing rapidly in Africa and in parts of Asia. And we get to be a part of supporting that work through sending out missionaries and encouraging the growth of the church in other parts of the world. We get to celebrate what the Spirit is doing through believers that we may never meet or know or see in person, but we praise God that the gospel is bearing fruit in other parts of the world. And we also pray that we will begin to see that here in our own culture again as well. And so we rejoice that the Lord is still adding to our number daily those who are being saved. And that only happens through the ministry of the church by the power of the Holy Spirit. Now there's one more lens through which I want us to look at the church as we think about these verses in Acts chapter 2. And that is those things that we love to do with our church family. Now these are things that might also happen out in the world, but we have found that they are best experienced in the church. So in the church, we love to fellowship together. We love to care for one another's needs. And as we talked about before, we love to share meals. It says in Acts 2, they devoted themselves to fellowship. It says all the believers had everything in common and gave to anyone who had need. And then it says they broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts. These are things that we love about the church. These are things we love to do with our brothers and sisters of faith here within our body of believers. And listen again to these words. They devoted themselves to fellowship. Fellowship, sometimes we throw that word around to the point where it kind of loses its original meaning. Sometimes we treat fellowship like it's just something that we do in between the other real ministries of the church. Like fellowship is just the cookies and coffee that we have before worship starts. But fellowship in a biblical sense is so much more than that. Fellowship is about sharing life together. It's about listening to one another. It's about asking, how are you doing? Or as the old covenanters said, how goes your walk? In other words, are you growing in your faith? How are you doing spiritually? How are you doing emotionally? How are things in your life? And you ask a question like that, not just to have a casual conversation, but because you care about someone. And you want to hear what they're going to say. And maybe there's something that you can pray about. Or maybe there's a need that you can reach out and help. In biblical language, fellowship actually means not just spending time with people. What it means is sharing a common purpose with those people. We join together in the church because of the things that we care about. Together we care about our faith. We care about loving and worshiping God. We care about our commitment to sharing the good news. Those are the things that bind us together in the church. Those are the reasons that we join in fellowship. We also love in the church family to care for each other, to be generous to one another, to love each other, especially during times of need. And so we reach out to help one another in the church according to our own means and according to the needs that we see in the lives of the people around us. Even during this time when we aren't physically together, we are still caring for each other. I know many of you are calling one another day after day, week after week. We're praying for each other. Some have offered to deliver groceries to those who don't feel safe going out into the stores. Some are giving rides to church family members when they need to go to the doctor or the hospital. in many ways, our church excels at caring for one another. And I know that we will continue that tradition, even more so during this difficult and challenging time, because we love to care for each other. And then we return to where we started, and that is that we love to share meals together. The first church in Jerusalem didn't have a church building, but they met in their homes. And it says they broke bread together. That language often refers to the communion meal, but it also refers in a more sort of casual sense to just sharing meals together. Again, the first potlucks were those early believers meeting in homes where they could all be together and enjoy a meal and talk about Jesus and worship and pray together. And so they met in living rooms or around kitchen tables. And in our church, we like to share meals down in fellowship hall or out at the park during the church picnic or in restaurants or also in our homes. Eating together draws us together with glad and sincere hearts because we love to share meals together. The truth is we love the church. And right now, we miss many parts of church life. We will soon return to all the things that the church has to do, all the things that only the church can do, and all the things that we love to do with our church family. So may God continue to bless our church and give us that hope that we will soon be together again. Let me pray for you. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the encouragement of remembering what the church is all about, what it means to be a church family. Lord, give us that hope that we will soon be together again. And even during this time apart, Lord, give us the encouragement we need to continue to care for one another, continue to worship, even if we're not physically together, but spiritually together. Lord, remind us to pray for one another. Give us opportunities, Lord, to share the good news of Jesus, even if it's over the internet or through phone calls or talking to neighbors across the lawn. Lord, however you will enable us. Lord, give us those opportunities that we can continue to be the church. Because, Lord, we know that your church, the Church of Jesus Christ, is the greatest force of good in the world. And, Lord, our world needs much more good in it right now. And so we thank you for our fellowship together. We thank you for our church family. And I pray your blessing and your strength. I pray for hope in each of our hearts. Lord, help us to trust in you. And I pray that you'd continue to hold us together as a church body. Lord, we ask all these things in the name of our Savior Jesus. Amen. I want to thank you for joining us today, for being a part of this time of worship and listening to God's Word. I would encourage you to share this message with others as well. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all, now and always. Amen.
Thank you.